The Old Testament reading for the Feast of the Visitation is from Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 12. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. You may be seated. This day in the church year, the Feast of the Visitation, is a day of confessing the faith. There are three great confessions made in the gospel reading on this day. One is by John the Baptist, one is by Elizabeth, and the third is by the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, what's miraculous and wonderful in all three of these confessions is the object and substance of their confession. It's Jesus. But you see, it's not just Jesus normally as we picture him in the Gospels, but as a very young child in the womb of his mother. And really, that's quite something, isn't it? Luke, the physician, was inspired by the Holy Spirit to record this event and reveal it to you. So the first confession of this visitation is made by John the Baptist. Listen again to the beginning of the gospel reading. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. Now, this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Here, God gives you a glimpse of John in the womb of his mother Elizabeth. And what does he do? He leaps for joy over the Lord in his mother's womb, coming to visit them. Life in the womb is life. This is the first confession of Jesus made in the reading. An unborn baby confesses Christ, because John is a person in the womb. Not only that, but he's also a Christian. In this, along with his confession, we see something important. There's no mincing words or trying to put the obvious away when it comes to this and what you see as well. There's life in the womb. God values life, and so do his people. It's good for us to remember that and see, as we are now, 1 year after that Dobbs decision last summer, which overturned Roe versus Wade. God, who is our Father, has created the universe and all that is in it. He has established and ordered it according to his good and gracious will, as he himself is the loving creator. All that is good, true, and beautiful reflects and points back to the Lord who created the heavens and the earth, because God is the God of life. He is life. He creates life. And not only that, but being our Father who created us, he also sustains and protects us. And he uses us as his instruments to do as he has given us, parents and others, or made us to be in these vocations as well. So each baby in the womb is a testament to the fact that God creates life through man and woman, and reminds us as well that the womb was once also the dwelling place of God himself. God is the God of life. He gives life, he protects life, he's given you your life. So that's why something like this issue that has been so prevalent in the news for years of abortion, it's so important. It goes to the very nature of God's creation, his care, his redemption in this world. It gets to the very core of God's person and creative work. So as we hear readings like this with the visitation and any number of things, the devil knows this. He knows this is absolutely is the case. He knows this truth about life in the womb, along with other things like marriage and any number of other stuff that we see around us. Because the devil is no dummy. He knows exactly how God operates in this world. So he attacks and he perverts what God graciously does and gives. The devil lies and tries to get us to see through these things. And rather than receive and honor what God gives to us, he wants us to be critical. He wants to create chaos out of the order God has established. He wants to watch the world burn. The devil attacks life just as Herod tried to kill the boys in Bethlehem in order to try and kill the child Jesus. So the devil tries to get us to believe that men and women are interchangeable, that there's no difference between them, and what one can do, the other can, and that there is no order in this life. The devil wants us to call evil good and good evil. He wants us to call what God has created by another name. He wants us to be at the point where we start asking questions like, is this thing in the womb really life? Or does this matter if there is some defect, disability, or terminal issue? But the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. God is the God of life, even as Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So here is John the Baptist then, alive in the womb of his mother Elizabeth. And he confessed Jesus by his actions. And it shouldn't surprise us too, because his parents were Christians. They were righteous people. They heard the word of God. Yes, they were sinners. Zechariah, his father, was a priest, was struck mute after doubting the word until John was born. Nevertheless, his parents heard the word of God and they kept it. They would have been confessing it, speaking it, singing it, praying this word in their homes as John continued to grow in his mother's womb, and even after he was born and he was given that name, John. He learned of Jesus more and grew in this faith and into the purpose he was sent to prepare, the way of the Lord. And finally, in the ultimate confession, he confessed Jesus by his actions again as he was killed for the faith. So all throughout his life, John the Baptist confessed the faith, even in the womb of his mother. Now the second confession of faith in this gospel reading is made by Elizabeth. Luke goes on to write, "And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. So Elizabeth and John were visited by Mary and Jesus. So here Elizabeth confessed the blessing of being in the presence of her Lord as he was brought to her by his mother as he himself was in the womb. Elizabeth saw this as a gift given to her. She confesses a blessing to those who hear God's word and believe it. She believed what was spoken to her would be fulfilled. Mary believed and said to the angel earlier in Luke 1, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." So Elizabeth is an example of faith for you. She is a saint, just like her son, who shows you what a faithful confession in life looks like. It's lived by faith, and this faith has an object and fulfillment in Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of your faith, just as he was for them. Now, the third confession is the confession of Mary. And her confession is given at great length here in this reading and throughout Luke's gospel. She is the mother of God, and her womb is God in the flesh, Jesus. And that's nothing insignificant either. She was blessed, as Elizabeth said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Her blessing, though, was not found in herself. Rather, it was found in the one in whom she bore. The fruit of her womb was her Redeemer. Her son is the only begotten Son of God. And so it is right to honor her. Our Lutheran confessions rightly confess her as the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's the term they use for her at times. They rightly confess her as the Mother of God, for Elizabeth's Lord and your Lord was in her womb. So you learn from Mary and see in her a great example of the faith, and unique as only she bore the Son of God. So every Christian is called, you are called to have the same mind and faith when you hear God's word, which responds, "Let it be to me according to your word." That's the example Mary gives you. Because Mary is your sister in the faith. She's gone before you. Mary is a saint, and you are to look to her as an example of faith and mimic and follow in that same faith. Yet we know she is not to be worshipped or prayed to, as she herself testifies to this. She points to the one who is in her womb, to someone outside of herself. Her confession is a confession of her son. So Mary's visitation to her relative was all for the sake of the child in her womb. And all three of these confessions were a confession of Christ. So dear people of God, there is one more confession in all of this today. It's your confession. Take all of this in which you have heard proclaimed to you by St. Luke and ponder it in your heart. Consider your place in all of this, what this means for you as you live in this world. In the epistle reading, God through St. Paul exhorts you, "Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight." So God's word is for you. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Well, what is evil? Well, listen to God's law and see where you have sinned against him. Examine the world and see where it tries to steal you away from Christ, where it tries to persuade you into loving what is evil and abhorring what is good. Fight against the crafts and the assaults of the devil, which try to get to you to look at this event of the visitation with disdain, rather than rejoicing with John the Baptist, with Elizabeth, with Mary, that God is the God of life, who has come and dwelled with his people, and who for a time had his throne in the womb of the Virgin. Do not be haughty. Do not be wise in your own sight. God chose what is lowly and despised in the world to shame the wise. See your own sin. Confess it. Repent. So we see this visitation of Mary is what is good. Rejoice in it. See your consolation. See your confidence. See your comfort and have peace. Your Lord Jesus Christ was in the womb of Mary. The reason why he was there was to save you. And he has done it. He didn't stay in her womb, but was born and lived his life perfectly in obedience to his Father, fulfilled all that was commanded of him. He is the one promised of old. He is the one promised, prophesied by the prophet Isaiah, who said, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." This is your Lord, who has fulfilled all that was spoken of him. This is he who shares your human flesh and blood, only who is without sin. When you think about that, it's absolutely wondrous and miraculous. We who came from the wombs of our mothers, who have flesh and blood, our Lord shares that. He shares in our human flesh and blood, only without sin. Our Lord knows you. He knows who you are. And he is the one who went on to suffer in your place, to satisfy the wrath of God by his death, to pay the price that you owe for your sin. In that same flesh and blood, he bore those wounds. He suffered and spilled his own blood so that you are healed. So the fruit of the womb of Mary is the crucified Lord, Christ crucified for you. He is the Lord who has risen, who promises that you too shall rise and live just as he has, and he has risen. That same body, that same flesh and blood risen from the grave, your own flesh and blood, will raise from the grave as well. So God used these three people who were lowly to confess Christ, to be revealed to you in his word as examples of faith for you today. In the collect of the day you prayed a few minutes ago, God, grant that we may receive your word in humility and faith. And that's who you are in Christ. You, a sinner, have been brought low, but raised up in Christ who forgives your sin and gives you new life in him. So see also this glorious truth on the Feast of the Visitation. Jesus visited those people that day, and Jesus is here as well, now, even now. But you see, dear Christians, Jesus is no visitor in your life who is here for a time and a season, who eats all of your food at barbecue and then goes home and you don't hear from him for 3 weeks. No, your Lord is here and he's with you for all eternity. He promised at his ascension that he is with you always, even to the end of the age. And you've been clothed with him in the waters of your baptism. You confess this as St. Paul does in Galatians 2. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And as if this weren't enough, your Lord gives you himself, his own body and his own blood for your forgiveness, life and salvation in his supper. You take into your mouth the same Lord who was in the womb of Mary, who walked on this earth, who hung on the cross, who rose from the dead. This is the faith that you confess in this life. This is the faith you confess with all of God's people as it has been handed down to you and given to you as a gracious gift by the Holy Spirit. John's confession is your confession. Elizabeth's confession is your confession. Mary's confession is your confession. So join with them and all the saints, speaking, living, and singing this confession every day. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Rejoice indeed in God your Savior, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And you know what? The day is coming too, and will surely come soon, you pray, when you will rise from your grave, and your Lord will come in all of his glory and take you to be with himself, and you will not visit, but dwell with him and all his saints. What a glorious day that will be indeed. Until then, cling to your Lord's word and sacraments, and know that you are his, for your sin is forgiven, and you have been called his own. Confess and rejoice. Leap for joy. Blessed are you who have believed that word spoken to you. Amen. peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.